I'm here in the KCBX studio with, may I ask you to introduce yourself, first starting with you on my right?
Hi, my name's Monica Vaughn. I'm a reporter at the San Luis Obispo Tribune.
Okay, and you?
I'm Ashley Layden, and I'm an intern at the Tribune.
Okay, great. And so you're here to talk to us about NAPOMO.
Air quality on the NAPOMO Mesa, specifically.
Let's just jump into it. What have you been doing? Explain to our listeners about the California Fellowship and how you got started on this project.
Sure. Well, so for years, the Tribune has been reporting about bad air quality on the NAPOMO Mesa and the relationship between Air Pollution Control District and state parks in trying to regulate that. I was awarded a fellowship with the USC Annenberg Center for Health Journalism to investigate bad air quality on the NAPOMO Mesa from the health perspective. And this project is a six-month intensive investigative research project where I'm exploring the data that's been collected, the research that has been done, and also working closely with the community to learn about what the actual health experiences are of the residents there.
I see. And are you doing other reporting at the same time, or is this fellowship enabling you to totally dedicate yourself to this?
Oh, no. I am, full-time reporter on all of my other beats, including, Cal Poly and the county and soon election coverage. But this is enabling us to really dive deep into something that we've been reporting on for years, but maybe not to this level. The air quality on the NAPOMO Mesa is bad. It's been bad for a long time, and we've known about it, and we've written about it. Public Health has known about it. The Air Pollution Control District has known about it. And we wanted to know, how bad is it? What does that actually mean? So for people who are driving on the 101, for example, and look over towards NAPOMO, they might see a big haze of brown cloud over the NAPOMO Mesa. Sometimes there's fog, but sometimes you'll see that it's this brown, tingy thing. So what that is it something, a pollution called particulate matter. And so particulate matter is just like tiny, tiny pieces of particles that are smaller than the human hair. You can't see them with your eyes. Wildfire smoke is particulate matter. Smoke from, your wood-burning stove produces particulate matter. It can also be dust from agriculture, from dirt roads. There's all different kinds of particulate matter. This particulate matter that we see over the NAPOMO Mesa is just thought of as dust. So generally comes from the beach line, and when the wind blows from a west-northwest direction, this plume clouds over NAPOMO Mesa. And the concentration of particulate matter is much higher than most places across the state. In fact, the air quality on the NAPOMO Mesa violated state air quality standards several times every year for the last decade or more. So an EPA-approved monitor at the Cal Fire station on the NAPOMO Mesa in a residential area showed that the air violated state air quality standards on 47 days in 2018. 97 days in 2017. So just to talk about what that means that one out of every 4 days, the air quality is violating state standards on the NAPOMO Mesa and is a concern to public health and for people who live there. In addition to the violating state standards, there are these days when the wind is so strong and there's so much dust in the air that it's at times the worst air quality in the state and at some moments in the nation. While Fresno, Bakersfield, LA Basin, we see that there's kind of generally this bad air quality that's considered unhealthy for sensitive people. There are moments on the NAPOMO Mesa where air quality is hazardous to every person. So that includes people who are working there, people going to school there, people living there. And so, for example, that happened for an hour on May 27th this summer. It also happened the next day. So why this matters is that these tiny, tiny pieces of particulate matter can enter your respiratory system, and they go past your upper respiratory system and actually reach your lower respiratory system. So what that means is these little particles can become embedded or touch super sensitive tissue-thin pieces of your lungs. When that happens, it can result in scar tissue being developed in your lungs. And when scar tissue develops in your lungs, that part of your lung can literally never be used again. So people actually lose lung capacity by prolonged exposure to particulate matter. But we know that there are short and long-term effects of this kind of bad air quality. The short-term effects can be, irritated eyes, a scratchy throat, a lot of coughing. Often that's just your upper respiratory system doing what it should be doing, which is clearing that stuff out of your body. But that can also lead to asthma. And what we've seen in the older population is it can lead to lung disease and even lung cancer.
So there's a direct correlation between particulate matter and lung cancer?
Yes.
And this is widely researched?
Yes. Right. And we're kind of reviewing all of that science and research now. I've talked to medical professionals in the area, respiratory practitioners, pulmonologists, cardiac specialists, and they all say the same thing. And this is what the Centers for Disease Control also say. So what I wanted to know is, what does that actually mean for people who live on the community? I've had the great opportunity working with the Center for Health Journalism at USC to do this thing called engagement journalism, where you work directly with the impacted community to kind of ask the reporting questions and let the community kind of guide your reporting in a way. So I went and canvassed the neighborhood.
What does that mean exactly? You went and knocked on everybody's door?
Yeah, I went to an area that is known to be like under the worst part of the plume, and I knocked on people's door and I asked them, we're investigating bad air quality in your neighborhood, and can we ask you a few questions?
And what was the general response?
It was good. Most people were like, yeah, the air quality is bad. My allergies are terrible. There's dust everywhere all the time. And it was interesting to have an experience where one woman that I spoke with, her adult daughter had recently moved home and had developed congestion in her chest that hadn't gone away in 4 months. And I asked her, have you read in the paper or heard on the news about the dust problem and the air quality issue? And she said, yeah. But she had never put it together that her daughter's health experience might be related to the dust. And that's one thing that's difficult about this issue, is we know that particulate matter, air quality at this level, can result in bad health effects. But we can't look at any individual that has a particular symptom and say that is caused by this air quality. But what I am learning is that a lot of people are concerned about their family's health. They don't quite know what they should do when the air is bad, and they don't even know how to check to find out if the air quality is bad. I'm meeting with one woman tomorrow whose son, who attends, I think, Lang Elementary School, has asthma, and she's starting to see that her younger daughter is developing similar symptoms, and she's worried. She doesn't know what she can do to protect her family from this air quality. In addition to canvassing, we went and met with parents as they were picking up their students from Lang Elementary School. And we also did an online questionnaire where we asked people about their health experience. And we heard from 270 people. And most of those people lived on the Napomo Mesa. You know, some people don't have any negative health experience. You know, they don't have any respiratory issues, and that's normal. When there's a risk, that doesn't, it means that not everybody is going to have this experience. And certainly there are people who have asthma or lung disease because of other things that have happened in their life. But I think Ashley wants to talk for just 1 second about something that she learned.
Sure.
So, yes, after reviewing the survey, we found 20 people who identified themselves as having lung disease. So I reached out, confirmed those cases, and was able to talk to a handful of them. And I think the number one thing was that these people just don't trust going outside anymore in the area. That's what I heard again and again, is that they monitor the air quality and they don't walk anymore. They feel like they can't, and they don't trust the area they live in.
The survey is still going on. You still, for somebody who hears this and hasn't done it and they want to, how do they access that?
Yeah, so they can go to our website, to sanluisobispo.com/Napomo Mesa Air. And when they're there, they can fill out the survey. They can read some of the research that we found. And we're also hosting an event. So like I said, you know, when we reached out to all of these people, we heard things like, since I moved here, I started having breathing issues and I'm under doctor's care for lung disease. Had I known how bad the air was on the Mesa, I would not have moved here. I never had lung problems while living in Palm Desert for many years. Other people saying, my chest hurts when the air quality is unhealthy. Another person, each year my allergies have gotten worse. Although people's allergies are typically worse in the spring, mine are at their worst during the summer. So over and over, there are literally, you know, hundreds of people saying this to us. I realized that there was such a disconnect between the knowledge that the medical field has and public health officials have and what these residents know about their own experience. And so we're bringing those groups together at an event at Mesa Middle School on the Napomo Mesa, and it's an open, public, free conversation and open house about health and air quality on the Napomo Mesa. And we're inviting people who live, work, and go to school on the Napomo Mesa to come ask their questions about air quality, about their health to air quality experts. So we will have the Air Pollution Control District Officer Gary Willey will be present. The County Public Health Officer Penny Bornstein will be present. And we'll also have a couple medical practitioners that will be there, able to tell parents or other residents when they need to go to the doctor. When are the symptoms bad enough that you need to do something to take control of your health?
But I do want to raise the thorny issue of that I often hear when I'm covering meetings between Oceano Dunes off-road users and people who live on the Mesa. The off-road users say, we've known for decades that the air is bad there. Why did you move there? Why don't you just move away? Why were those housing developments allowed if Air Quality Control District knew about this? So can we get in, kind of into those, a little bit of unpacking, or is your research just totally focused on the health and not why or other aspects?
My research is actually extending the gamut. I am looking into why. I am looking into the source. I am asking those questions about why did we allow to build houses there when we know the air quality is bad. Right now, I'm specifically focused on health because I really want to serve the impacted community first. Right now, improving public health is my priority. But what we heard from a number of people that they didn't know the air quality was bad when they purchased their house.
I've heard that over and over again as well.
Yeah, and it's only been a few years that it's been legally required that on the form that you fill out when you're purchasing your house, it says in tiny print, you know, in a 200-page document, it'll say, like, I acknowledge that I know that there is an air quality issue here. So that's for people that are new to the area, but that's not the only people that are impacted. We're talking about people who have lived in this area their entire lives or for decades. Certainly there are people affected on the golf course communities in Trilogy and Black Lake, for example, but there's also communities outside of those newer developments that also have this air quality issue, and schools that are right in the middle of the plume. So we can ask, and I am asking, how did we end up here? What I'm focused on right now is, we know the air quality is bad where people live. What are we going to do about it now?
That makes sense. And do you have any inklings of what is going to answer that question? What do we do about it now? Or are you still in the researching part?
I'm still in the researching part when we look at it on a broad, you know, kind of political, regulatory, actionable items from the government. But there are things that residents can do now. And that's what I'm focused on in this moment, is just working with those residents and workers in the area to say, okay, when you know that the wind is coming up in the afternoon, it's usually in the afternoon, when you know the wind is coming, close your doors, close your windows, and don't let your kids play outside when the air is bad. And those are things that people can do, can take action right now and not wait, you know, for anybody else to fix the problem to protect their family's health.
That's pretty dramatic, because, and also I'm thinking of when the Thomas fire was happening, you know, they're handing out N95 masks, which are the kind of masks that you need to block the particulate matter. Is it going to go that far that people will need to wear masks when they're at home or walking around their neighborhoods?
I haven't heard of many people choosing that as the way that they choose to protect their lungs. I have heard of people who close the windows and doors, and when it's really bad, they leave the area.
Okay. And when the air is bad, I automatically get these emails. I'm on a distribution list and it tells me, you know, the air is bad. Is that the primary way that residents can find out, you know?
Yeah. So there are a few ways. One is to go to the San Luis Obispo County Air Pollution Control District website, or to call that office and start receiving those air quality alerts. Another thing is that residents felt like they weren't getting enough information through those alert systems, and they wanted more information on their own. So they've installed air visual air quality monitors themselves throughout the community. And actually, as part of this project, we have installed a couple of monitors in the area, specifically at homes where people are having health issues, so that we can help them provide the information that they need to protect themselves.
Okay. And let's describe those. What are those? And I don't know anything about it.
So. Yeah. So Air Visual Pro is just like a little tabletop monitor, about half the size of a toaster. And it can measure the particulate matter in the air, and you can put it inside or outside, and it has a very user-friendly screen where you will see clearly what your current air quality is, and you will also see what the air quality is at the nearest monitor that was installed by the EPA. So, for example, if I live on the Napomo Mesa, I can put it right outside on my front porch, and I can also see the reading coming from the CDF station, the Cal Fire station down the road.
Okay.
And those monitors will not only tell me a number of the air quality index, which is whether it's good or moderate or poor or hazardous, it'll also show like a face of a guy who's like wearing a mask or smiling. Oh. So it's really user friendly. You can just look at the thing and know, okay, is this a good day or a bad day? Should I go outside? Should I stay inside? And they're kind of expensive. They're around $250. But the community on the Mesa has set up a number of monitors around the area, and they've made access to that data public. So people can download the app called Air Visual. And I actually recommend that everybody do this, even if you don't live on the Napomo Mesa, because there are air quality monitors around the entire country. And everybody can be affected by air quality, not just in, you know, not only if you live in a high polluted area. So download the app Air Visual, and you can use the interactive map to see what air quality monitors are currently reading in real time around the world. And you'll really see some trends start to come along, and you might learn something about your own neighborhood.
Ashley, so how do you spend your days right now? What are you doing?
Well, what I just did was speaking with people with lung disease that answered the survey. And, of course, they have hypotheses about why they may have lung disease. A majority of them have not smoked in their lives. But as we know, we can't just determine exactly why they have that. But we do know that these people are telling us that on these bad air days, they experience worse symptoms. And we know that from the research that areas, as Monica was saying, that have high particulate matter are more likely to see these types of conditions.
Somewhere along the line, I think a smart communication strategist came up with the idea that if you believe the health issue is real, then you are opposed to the Oceana Dunes State Vehicular Recreation Area. And that's just not true.
Unpack that for me.
Several of the people that we spoke with used to ride on the dunes or currently play on the dunes, and they're still concerned about their air quality. There are also a number of people who live on the Napomo Mesa who enjoy their time on the dunes with vehicles who don't experience any health issues. And there are, you know, people who don't ride on the dunes who don't experience health issues. So in my reporting, I would like to answer if those two things can coexist. Can we improve air quality and allow vehicles to continue on the beach? And so far, it looks from the Air Pollution Control District research that they've published so far is that that is possible. And that's the goal of a current settlement between state parks and APCD. Of course, there's also new research that's coming out that is showing that the dunes in that area have a kind of sand that is dustier than other coastal areas in the state. That doesn't negate the research that shows that areas where vehicles ride are more emissive. And we know that even if there were no vehicles at the beach, the air quality would still violate state standards several times a year, but it would drastically reduce. That's our understanding right now. I'm still poring over the research. There's a scientific advisory group that is looking at this issue right now. I have a number of questions out to them to try to answer this very political and contentious question. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our agenda is health, and we're trying to figure out, you know, what people need to know and uncover how we can move forward to improve public health. I asked people to describe what they see when they look out the window on windy days. And you may have seen, if you're driving on 101, this large plume of dust. And for people that live there, they say that it's like a sandstorm or like a fog that isn't as dense. Or I've heard an orange haze. I've heard like a cloud of smoke. We've seen pictures and I've seen in person, where you look down the road and the eucalyptus trees are just gray instead of green because of the particulate matter in between you and the tree. Mm. In many ways, this is an invisible problem because air quality and particulate matter are things that we don't really think about. You breathe in, you breathe out, you go on with your day, you don't even think about it, right? But what's happening is a lot of people thousands of people who live, work, and go to school in the Napomo Mesa are frequently breathing in tiny particles that are traveling deep into their lungs and potentially causing long-term health effects. It's invisible, but the dust itself, while it's small enough, it's also invisible, but it's visible in that people can see kind of a layer of dust over their backyards, over their cars, inside of their houses. I went to one woman's house. She had a little miniature piano that she kept on her table, and it was really shiny, well-varnished piano. And she said every couple of days she cleans it, and then it would get covered in dust in just a few days.
Inside
of her house. And that was the way that she measured whether or not the air quality was good for her family. They're not wealthy by any means, okay? They recently invested $4,000 to get an air filtration system on an air conditioning unit for their home. And it has been a month. The last time I saw her, she hadn't cleaned or dusted off that piano in a month, and it was spotless. It was shiny and clean and spotless. Whereas before they had those air filters, it was covered in dust every 3 days. So I'm also concerned that particulate matter is in people's homes, and it likely lasts there a lot longer because the wind doesn't blow through your house. And if the answer is always buy an air filter, then what does that mean for people who can't afford to buy an air filter? And to me, that really strikes that this is an environmental justice issue. The answer to their health problem is to spend money. And if you can't spend that money to move or to buy air filters, what do you do?
Do you know how many people have filtration systems?
If we could talk to every single person who lives, works, and goes to school on the Mesa, there are a number of questions I would ask them, including their health experience and whether they have filters, but we just don't have that kind of capacity.
But you want them, they could answer those questions on the survey if, yes, if they all found out about it.
Right, yeah. Then... So, yeah, people can tell us, we ask people what they do to protect their families. And some people have air filters. We have heard that people have air filters. A lot of them live in Trilogy or Black Lake, and some of them don't. But primarily, we hear that people close their windows and close their doors, or they leave the area, or they don't let their kids play outside. So that's 1 out of 4 days that you don't let your kid play outside.
That's pretty dramatic, yeah.
And also, if the particulate matter enters your home, if it isn't sealed well, if you have, you know, old windows or a vent that, you know, feeds inside of your house, that particulate matter could be coming into your house. And that's really a new area that I'm exploring now, is thinking about what does that mean, and how can people prevent that from happening. This is the kind of journalism that I love to do. It's a project that involves investigation, exploring data, talking with experts, and really connecting with the community that's impacted by the issue that we're exploring. And I think this is the kind of important journalism that I think we as journalists all wish that we could, mm-hmm, do more of all the time. And I'm just really grateful that we've had the opportunity to partner with the USC Annenberg Center for Health Journalism. They've really provided a lot of support. I have a mentor. I have an engagement editor, Danielle Fox, who has helped me strategize how do we reach the community? How do we talk to the community? How can we gather this information? How can we build these sources? And we're out there. And I just encourage everyone in our community to talk to your local journalists more, because it's really helpful in us understanding these complex issues.
Right. I just encounter that so much in my daily reporting. It's just people, oh, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you.
Right.
When it's, you know, I'm not an adversary.
Yeah.
But thank you for your journalism. I appreciate it. Is that part of that outreach? Do you do like flyers, or what are you putting, like posters up on poles, or what all?
Yeah, we're doing a tremendous amount of outreach for this event, because we want to reach people who don't already know that their air quality is bad, or we want to reach people who know that the air is dusty, but they don't know that it's bad for their health. We also found by talking to people that when I asked, have you read the stories or heard the stories about air quality on the Mesa? They said, yeah, but they were so confusing. Because primarily we've reported on kind of the politics and the regulation and the controversy between differing sides that, mm-hmm, you know, dispute the science, when what they needed to hear is, I was told, I'm just scanning the article until it says the sentence, this is a dangerous community to live in. So I learned through this process how important it is to talk directly to the community about information that directly affects their lives, right?
Right.
And so we will be, for this event, doing outreach to people much beyond our readership. So that will involve, you know, flyers promoting the event throughout the community, hopefully brochures at doctor's offices, at schools. And
wow.
Like I said, okay, beforehand, we... you know, we stood in front of an elementary school and talked to parents as they were picking up their kids. And we're going to go back there and do the same thing and hand out flyers for this event. And we're going to call all those people that we've connected with already and invite them here, because it's really about spreading information so that people can empower themselves to take control of their health.
Okay. The mission of journalism. Okay. Well, thank you both of you for coming by and talking to me about this.
If you want to learn more about the project, or if you want to learn the details about the event, to go to sanluisobispo.com/NapomoMesaAir. And also you can email us at the project at napomomesaair@gmail.com.